power is on. At Central Baptist Church.
Hey folks, when you need some time alone to think and to pray, do you have a special place where you like to go and have that alone time just to get your thoughts together or to spend time with the Lord? Yeah, as you think about that, why is that a special place to you? Stick around, join us. In just a moment, we're going to be looking at Jesus' prayer in the garden out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. See you in just a minute. Hey, folks, welcome back. A moment ago, I asked you if there was that special place that when you had a lot of things on your mind or some place that you just needed to go and pray. Was there a special place that you had in mind that you like to go to be able to spend that time with the Lord? And I ask you, why is that place special for you? It may be multiple reasons, and I'll go ahead and make a confession to you today. Particularly for somebody like me, I am very easily distracted. So for me to have that special place, it's a place where I can go where I don't have to worry about the distractions that are around me. I don't have to worry about the phone ringing. I don't have to worry about somebody needing me to do something. For you, you're probably the same way. You probably have that escape place that you like to go. For me, one of the special places for me particularly is our church sanctuary. And the reason why is because that's a place that particularly during the week when it's not the hours that folks would normally be in the church. To me, there's just something special about going into the house of the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I realize that the Lord's with us wherever we go, and you can seek Him anywhere. But there's just something special about having that appointment and that time to be able to go in there and sit down and either get on my knees before the altar or just have that time alone to sit there. I want you to think about that place today because Jesus had a place just like that. We're actually going to be looking at Jesus' prayer in the garden out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and we're going to begin reading at verse 36. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there with me to that particular passage. And this is a very pointed passage of Scripture as it was heading into the time when Jesus would be betrayed. And how ironic, we're heading into the Easter season as well. And often you'll hear sermons around this time of the year preached about this particular passage. So Matthew chapter 26, let's begin reading at verse 36. It says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Verse 38, "Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Verse 40, "Then he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, a second time, he went away and he prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, but unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Verse 43, and he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and he went away again, and he prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we pray that you will help us, Lord, to have our focus upon you. Lord, we pray that as we take this time to gather around your word, that we would be careful that we don't allow the distractions during these moments to keep us from what the Holy Spirit may want to say to us today. But Lord, also that we make a habit shutting out the things that are around us, to keep the distractions down while we have that opportunity to be able to spend time with you. Help us, Lord, to also realize that listening is a big part of our praying, not only to verbally express and verbally cry out to you, Lord, but also to take the time during our prayer to listen to what it is that you want to say to us. Help us, Father, to understand what it truly means to be still in your presence. Father, we pray that you will bless this time. Use me as your servant, that your word and you alone will truly be lifted up today. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these particular passages, probably very familiar to many of us, but in these passages, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray over the task that was before him. Now, yeah, Jesus took some of his disciples with him. He took three of them with him. And in verses 36 through 8, he wanted his disciples to do something for him. Now, when he approached that particular incident and he told the rest of his disciples, essentially, you stay here. He took Peter, James, and John. He said, yeah, come on with me. I want you to do something for me. And then even with them, he said, right here, I want you to do something special for me. I want you to watch and I want you to pray. Basically, that meant to be that advocate, to be those prayer partners, to pray about the heaviness that was on Jesus' heart about the task that lay ahead of him. And the task that lay ahead of him, of course, was Calvary's cross. When you look at it, a lot of people would ask the question, they'd say, well, why is it that people think that he gave a little bit more insight to Peter, James, and John than he did those other disciples? Folks, I don't know what your prayer life is like, and I don't know the people that are in your life, but many of us have some people in our lives that we will go to when there is something that is burdening us. We will go to them specifically and we'll say, look, could you do me a favor? Would you put me on your prayer list? Could you pray for me? And the reason that we do that is because we know that these people take prayer very seriously. We know that they are folks who get the attention of God, not that his children don't get his attention, but we know that they are going to do what they've been asked to do. When you ask them to pray for you, you know that is exactly what they're going to do. So we have some people in our lives like that. Now, that may be it. The scriptures don't tell us the particular reason why he chose Peter, James, and John for this particular task. But nonetheless, he did. You know, he said, guys, he said, I want you to do something for me. I want you to come and I want you to spend some time in prayer. And Jesus even went a little further than them. He left them at a particular place and he said, how about sitting here? How about praying for me? I'm going to go on a little bit further into the garden and I'm going to lay out my burden before the Father. There's something very serious in my heart. There's something that I'm wrestling with at this particular point. Now, in verses 37 and 38 of this particular chapter, there were some emotions that Jesus was feeling. Look with me, if you would. Verse 37, it says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Now, don't necessarily mix that word up. Sometimes I hear people say deeply depressed. It wasn't that Jesus was depressed, but he was distressed because he knew what he had been placed on earth to do. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, what do you mean Jesus was distressed about this? He knew what his call was. He knew what the Father had put him on earth to do. So why was he distressed about this? Folks, when we think about it, if you've ever done any sort of study, particularly about what a Roman execution was like, and you see how heinous that was, you see the things that took place. And for many of us, I can remember back a few years ago, maybe it's been about a decade now, time kind of gets away from me, but one of the things I heard mostly from people who went and actually had the chance to see that movie, The Passion of the Christ, maybe you saw it as well. One of the things that was a real attention getter in that particular film was the depiction of the suffering that Jesus went through, how he was whipped and how brutal crucifixion was. That was one of the things that movie did to really get people thinking about what Jesus truly went through for you and I. Now, we know that Hollywood often will take some liberties with some things, but this one was not. I mean, it was as bad as that looked, and that was one of the things that so many people would say to me, they said, wow, man, I cannot believe it. And it helped get them a picture of what Jesus went through. So yeah, you have to understand that Jesus felt all of the same emotions that you and I feel. Now, the difference between us and Jesus is that Jesus was able to feel these things and sort them out without sinning. You and I have never been able to pull that off. So Jesus was understanding that Calvary's cross was quickly approaching. He understood that his betrayer was at hand, as the Scripture tells us that. So when you think about that, I believe with all my heart that one of the things that troubled Jesus the most about the task that was before him was the suffering that he would have to go through. Most of us don't want to suffer. You know, we don't sit back and go, oh, goody, I get to suffer along the way. And this included not only an emotional suffering or not only a mental type of suffering, but this also included a physical type suffering. Jesus had seen it. Jesus knew what crucifixion was like. Jesus knew what crucifixion was about. And Jesus knew that the Father had placed him on the earth because it was the only way. It is the only way that you and I would ever have an opportunity to be redeemed of our sin. It's the only way that we would ever be able to know eternal life in the place called heaven that the Lord has gone to prepare for us. He was the perfect sacrifice. Now, when we look at that verse 39, once again, we see what posture that Jesus took. Look at verse 39. Verse 39 says, he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So when Jesus went a little further into the garden, it says that he fell down on his face. Yeah, when you take a posture of prayer, now I want you to understand that the Lord's going to hear your prayer. I know that people say, well, I pray when I'm driving down the road in the car. That's great. You can do that. But when I'm talking about a very specific, a very burdened, a very focused prayer, you know, when you do that, is your posture different than just driving down the road in the car? I know that mine is. For me, I think one of the special postures that I have, particularly when I've got something that I carry before the Lord that's burdening my heart, I like to get on my knees. I like to go over to our church sanctuary. I like to get on my knees in prayer. I like to have those moments to be able to shut the outside world out and to spend with Him. And so Jesus, being troubled by the situation that was at hand, went a little further into the garden, and it says that he fell on his face. And as he did, he made a request of the Father. He went to the Father and he said, if there's another way, if there's any other way that having to go through this heinous crucifixion, I kind of like to take that option. Yeah, I would rather that be the option. You know, it's okay, folks, when we have those things in our heart or those things that are burdening us, and when we carry them before the Lord, it is perfectly okay to say to the Lord, you know, Father, I know that you told me that you wouldn't take all the storms of my life away, but you'd be with me through them. However, I do want to ask you, how about taking this particular storm away? Yeah, it's all right to ask that. There is nothing wrong with asking that. Now, the biggest thing is that we have to have the same attitude that Jesus had when he was praying before the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. We need to have that same attitude. It's all right to say, Lord, there's a storm in my life, and I would rather you take it away. I would rather you step in. I would rather you do something so miraculous just to make this disappear so that I won't have to face what I'm facing as we go down the road into the future. It's okay to ask that. But you need to have the same attitude that Jesus had in verse 39, because look at what he said. In verse 39, he said, "O Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." But then he finished up that verse and he finished up that sentence to the Father by saying, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Folks, we need to understand that the Father has a will for our circumstances. The Father has a will for our situations. The Father even has a will for all those things in our life that we are dreading having to walk through. The question is, when we go to Him, when we are praying before Him, are we taking the same attitude that Jesus had? Here's something that we could really, really learn from, is being able to say, Lord, here's what I want. But you know what? It's not about what I want. It's about what you want. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, I'd rather not walk down this road of having to have this surgery. I'd rather you just miraculously take this cancer away or take this situation away. But Lord, if you don't, that's okay, because I know you're going to walk with me through this. And I know that all things do work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Now, when we pray and when we get on our face and when we're seeking the Lord, is this the attitude that we take? Sometimes when the Lord doesn't answer our prayer our way, we get upset with him. We get discouraged. We get, I'll use the word miffed, and we get sometimes even angry with God because we don't feel like he stepped up in the way that we wanted him to. Well, folks, here's a great, great attitude. When you made those prayers, were you saying, making your request, and it being perfectly fine to do that, when you did that, though, were you saying, Lord, you know, that's it. If this is not, if what I'm asking you is not what you want, it's okay. Just help me to understand that. Give me peace. Give me strength. Give me strength for the journey that I'm going to have to walk through. You know, Jesus was burdened over this. This was something in his heart that drove him to a fervency in prayer before the Father. Now, Jesus is also a great example for us. If Jesus went to the Father over the things that were troubling his heart, particularly at the degree in which this was, I could just about guarantee you that any of you watching this this broadcast this evening, there are some things in your life that are completely out of your control. There are some things in your life that maybe you are going to the Father in that fervency with prayer, and there are things that you're asking him. You've already got a plan mapped out for how you think that it would go in a way that would be pleasing to you. But I want you to ask yourself this question. As you're praying those prayers, are you truly having the mindset that you can say with all of your heart, not just playing lip service before the Lord, but that you can truly say, Lord, this is what I'd like to see, but it's not about what I want. It's about what you want. Lord, you know, I'll do it your way, and I'm willing to concede what I want for what you want. And folks, a lot of times that journey's not an easy one. If you look at the situation with Jesus, we know what took place with him. We know that shortly after this, he was betrayed. We know what he went through when it came down to the crucifixion. We know the suffering that took place. And the beauty in all that is all that suffering took place for you and I. As he went before the Father said to the Son, he said, Jesus, there's no other way. There has to be a ransom paid. There has to be a price paid for sin that is greater than what we're winning. And what we're winning is people. And he said this. He said, nevertheless, Jesus said this, not about what I want. Lord, if that's your plan, we're going to go with your plan. You know, when we continue to look at this, Jesus was completely submissive to the Father's will. Are we completely submissive to the Father's will when it comes down to those prayers that we're praying? In our personal prayer lives, these are words that are great, great examples for each and every one of us to follow. And they're not easy. You know what? If it was so easy, everybody would be doing it. Let me tell you, fervency in prayer is a challenge. Having those times to be able to make those appointments with the Father and to get away with Him are not easy, particularly in this day and age. We're in such a rapid pace. We have such technology in the world that work chases us home. We've got the cell phones. We've got the iPads. We've got the streaming services. We have the TV. There is something inundating us every minute of every day. So the question is, are we taking the time to be able to get away from life, to get away from the situation, to turn to the Father, to diligently and desperately seek Him in prayer? Now, as Jesus was doing that, as He was pouring His heart out in one of the biggest and greatest things that ever was going to happen to Him, those disciples, the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, that He called on and said, guys, I want you to back me on this. I need you to be here. I need you to be praying. Look at verse 40. Verse 40 tells us how he found them. Verse 40 says, then he came to his disciples, that being Peter, James, and John, and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you do what I ask you in my most desperate time? I ask you to be my backup. I ask you to be my prayer partner. Now, one of the things I want to mention right here is, folks, I want to caution you that when somebody comes to you and says, hey, listen, would you do me a favor? Would you pray for me? The same holds true that when you give a prayer request to us here at the church, we take those things very, very seriously because we feel like you are in that same sort of position that Jesus was in. There's something diligent in your heart, something on your mind that you're crying out and you're asking for prayer support from your brothers. So, you know, I want you to know that when you do that, don't think that we just sit there and stick your name on a list and that we never look at it again. When we tell you we're going to pray for you, we do that. We mean that with all of our heart. You can rest assured that if you say, listen, Pastor Roy, I want you to pray for me. I've got a certain circumstance or situation. That's going to happen. You know, we don't want to find ourselves in the situation that the disciples were in when Jesus found them in a most desperate moment of his life. He found them sleeping. And he said to him, you know, what are you doing? You know, this is one of my most desperate times. And I called on you because I felt like you were the guys that would be with me. I felt like you were the ones that would walk with me through this particular situation. And it says in verse 41, he told his disciples, after he said, couldn't you just watch with me for 1 hour? Verse 41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus just didn't leave them with a rebuke. He didn't just leave them with, guys, come on. Yeah, he said, look, I get it. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There have been times that we've used that as an old adage in our lives. But many of us truly understand what that means. The spirit within us is truly willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, let me give you an example when it comes to that and specifically with prayer. There have been countless times over my almost 3 decades of ministry where people have come to me and they've been frustrated with themselves. And what they've said is this. They said, you know what, Pastor, I know that I need to be a better prayer warrior. I know I need to get my relationship and my walk with the Lord in a better position. And I set out with the right heart and I say, you know, I'm going to pray, you know, every morning. Well, I couldn't do that because I'm not a morning person, but I made it a point that I was going to do this in the evening before I go to bed. And what they say is, well, the next thing I know, you know, I'll say, my Father in heaven. And the next thing I know, the alarm clock's waking off. And these people get so frustrated with themselves. And that even may be you at this particular point. And so then usually what I'll say is, well, let me ask you this question. How did you enter into prayer? Well, you know, I got myself ready for bed. I brushed my teeth. I turned the TV off and I crawled into bed between those nice warm sheets on that nice comfortable mattress. I had my head on the pillow and I said, my Father in heaven. And the next thing you know, I was asleep. Yeah, I have often said that one of the best cures for insomnia is prayer. And here's the reason why. Because if you try to lay down in the bed and try to pray, the old devil's going to let you go to sleep really, really quickly. Folks, that's why posture oftentimes is position. When we looked at Jesus in this particular situation, Jesus didn't go in there and make himself as comfortable as he could. He fell down on his face and his heart was crying out. What is your posture? You know, are you that person that gets on your hands and knees beside your bed? You know, it's really hard for you to fall asleep if you're on your hands and knees beside your bed. Do everything that you can to create the right atmosphere so that other distractions will not come in your life. Put them aside. If you have to take the phone off the hook, take the phone off the hook. Now, I probably just dated myself because most people don't even have a home phone anymore. Turn the cell phone off. Do whatever you need. Go shut the door. Lock the door. You know, get yourself away from the mainstream of life so that you can spend that pointed time with the Lord. The disciples, yeah, you know what? We don't know what the situation was. We don't know that they hadn't had a long, hard day. They could very well have. You know, they could have been going from sun up to sundown. They could have been tired. They could have had a lot of physical work that they were doing along the way. And they just could have been exhausted. You know, but here's what the Lord told them. The Lord said, the spirit, I know your spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Listen, we've got a battle against that flesh. You know, how many times that could almost be the marching orders for the many people over the years that I've had that have said, you know, preacher, I'm trying, but I keep failing. I keep falling asleep during my prayer. I keep doing this. I keep doing that. And all these things can essentially be fixed by a few little tweaks along the way. So I want to encourage you this evening, if that's you, make those little tweaks. Listen, if you're getting into bed and you start to pray and you find yourself falling asleep, then get out of bed. Get on your knees. Get on your knees beside your bed. Spend that focused, fervent time in prayer. That Jesus may not say to you what he said to his disciples in this passage, that the Spirit is indeed willing. It's not the fact that you don't want to do it. Most people want to, but the flesh is weak. That's what we've got to battle. We've got to make sure that we can spend that time. You know, how many ways can you identify with this particular statement? I think that in some level, all of us can. Now, as we continue through this passage, there were three different times that Jesus prayed and asked that this cup, meaning what he was facing in regard to the crucifixion, pass away from him. That's verses 42 through 44. You know, why do you think that he prayed multiple times for this? Now, we're talking about Jesus here. Folks, there are times when we go to the Lord and we're asking for something and we don't get it immediately. And then what we do is we just give up. You know, we just give up on our prayer. You know, I'm often reminded when I come to this particular passage of a New Testament passage that had previously happened where it talks about a lady went to a judge, a widow lady went to a judge and said, "Avenge my avenger." That's the way it reads in the New King James. And the judge didn't grant her what she wanted. And she continued to go back into his presence. And in that particular passage, finally it says that the judge said, "I'm going to give her what she wants because she's bugging me to death." Listen, how many of us are truly bugging our Father in heaven to death over the request of our heart? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that God is going to give us what we want, particularly if it's outside of His will. We need to be walking so closely with our Lord that we can determine, so that we can understand His will. Now, there are times when we won't understand why He wants things to happen the way they do, but those are the times that we need to trust Him by faith. To realize, to not get discouraged, to not say, "Well, I tried the prayer thing and it didn't work." That's not what it's about. It's about saying, "You know what? I prayed and I know that God heard me. So He didn't answer my prayer my way. There must be something better down the road for me." Can we take that sort of attitude? Jesus went three times before the Father, and three times He asked that the cup would pass from Him. Now, essentially what the answer was no. That was the answer from the Father. Sometimes we don't like to hear God say no. Now, He'll answer that way. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. But listen, how do we do when the Father says no? Jesus responded to Him in verses 45 and 46. We read this. It says, "Then He came to His disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let us rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" Jesus knew at that point that the answer that the Father was giving Him was no. Let me ask you this question. How do you respond when the Father says no to your prayers? Do we get mad? Do we get upset? Do we get discouraged? You know, what happens? What is it that takes place in our hearts and in our lives? You know, there's such important things that are revealed to us by the Father. I want you to, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to take you there, but to John chapter 14 and verse 6 reads like this. It says, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him.'" Notice what He said. Jesus said this, and that is as plain and as simple as you can get. And I'll say that to anybody. Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one," that's me, that's you, that's everybody on this planet, "no one comes unto the Father except through Jesus the Son." And right there is proof positive that Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He truly is the only way to heaven. Okay? Now, based on our story, based on what we read in the Scriptures, what should we do when our heart is burdened? Yeah, it's an interesting question. Yeah, what should we do? Now, for me, I know that when my heart is burdened, I definitely find that alone place. I definitely find that spot where I go and where I meet with Him, when I shut the outside world out, when I get on my knees before Him, when I cry out to Him, knowing that He is hearing my plea. You know, we should continue to pray over the burden until it's answered. Now, we have to understand that God doesn't always answer with a yes. Sometimes He answers with a no. Sometimes He answers with a maybe. Don't give up. You know, I could tell you testimony after testimony, but one particular stands out in my mind of a lady who for decades and decades and decades prayed for the salvation of her husband. She never gave up. And I mean, it was multiple decades later, but that man finally gave his heart over to Jesus Christ, and he will spend eternity in heaven with me and in the presence of the Father. But she didn't give up. Yeah, she had that burden. She kept calling out to the Savior. She rallied her prayer warriors. She rallied the prayer troops and said, I want you to pray for him because I know that God wants to save his soul. And she never, ever gave up. Folks, listen, let's get a little bit of that bulldog tenacity, not to let go, to continue to pray. But also, may we ask God for the wisdom to understand when the answer is no. Yeah, there's that old expression that's used oftentimes, and you may have used it. I'm sure you've heard it, but somebody may have said to you, or you may have said to somebody, what part of no don't you understand? Listen, we need to be walking so closely with the Father that we see His will. And even when we don't see His will, that we trust and understand that He does have a will for our life, that we might be able to be like Jesus and say, Lord, here's my situation. This is the way I would like to see it, but it's not about what I want. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You see, when you pray sincere prayers to God, there's something that you can know is true. You can know that He is going to answer your prayer. And sometimes those prayers are no. So how are you praying? May you and I pray together that God will give each of us complete submission to the Father's will for our lives. And give us the understanding through His Word. How will we know that? We've got to get to know Him through His Word. We've got to get to know Him in prayer. We've got to walk with Him. Like the old hymn says, we walk with Him and we talk with Him. And He tells us that we are His own. He loves us. He cares for us more than any of us could ever imagine. If you imagine the love, the greatest love that you have, maybe for a spouse, maybe for a child, maybe for a mother, a father, whatever it may be, as much as you love them, the Father loves you even more. And for us, that's often hard to wrap our mind around. But it is true. And someday, when we get into glory and we get into His presence, we will see that and we will know that. So how's your prayer life? How are you doing? Let me go ahead and give you next week's, this week's Bible readings. This week's Bible reading is going to begin in Mark chapter 3. So I want you to read Mark chapter 3 through Mark chapter 7. Those will be your five chapters for this week. Then on next Wednesday, we're going to look at Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, where Jesus sends out the 12 to begin to spread the gospel message. Now, just a couple of things I want to remind you of as we close out our Wednesday evening Bible study. We do have our second and final Annie Armstrong in-gathering. And in-gathering is just the church word that we use to say it's when you bring your offering for our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, which supports North American missions. It's what keeps our missionaries out there. Our church goal for that offering is $7,000. We had our first in-gathering last week. We will have our final one this coming Sunday. So if you haven't had an opportunity to already give to that, please pray about what God would have for you to do in the way of contributing to this offering to keep our missionaries on the field in North America, which includes Canada, United States, as well as Mexico. We hope you've had some opportunity to view our videos that have spotlighted some of those missionaries. We always like to put faces and names with those that you are supporting by your giving through the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So make preparations for that in gathering this coming Sunday. Also, I want to mention that in April, and that's coming up really, really quick, we have deemed April our prayer and fasting emphasis. And what we're going to do on Thursdays in April, we're going to have our church open. Remember what I said a minute ago about that special place? You know, for me, there's just something special about having that appointment with God in His house. Now, once again, I understand you don't have to come to the church to meet God, but for me, it's setting that appointment. It's like having an appointment to come and to fervently cry out for the Lord. And that's what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to fast in some way. For some people, it may be a meal. For some people, it may be certain types of food. There are different fasts. We don't want you to get in trouble. We don't want you to try a 30-day fast. We're just asking you to at least do that on the Thursdays in the month of April. For you, maybe it is fasting social media. Maybe it's not watching the news. Maybe it is giving up meat. Maybe it is giving up vegetable. Whatever it is, make sure that it is a sacrifice and that as you give that up, you are seeking God for a greater cause. You're creating space. That fasting is about creating space in your life to fill it with what God the Father wants. Now, we're also going to ask you to make that appointment with the Father along the way. Our church is going to be open on the Thursdays in the month of April. If you're a morning person, we'll be open from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. where you can come in. We're going to have some prayer guides because we're going to ask you to pray for some specific things along with your personal prayer. We're going to just give you that time to come in and be in the Lord's house, to have that appointment with Him. Morning people, from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., you can come by at any time. We're not asking you to do 3 hours worth of prayer, but just sometime in that particular time range from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Also, if you're not a morning person, we're going to have the church open from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So you can come by maybe after you get done with supper or on your way home from work, whatever it may be, to drop in. Same thing, we'll have a deacon there that will give you a prayer guide, some things that we're asking you to specifically pray about because the Lord wants to do some great things through our church. He wants to use you to do those great things, and we need to cry out for Him. You know, church doesn't look like it used to. We won't be emerging from the pandemic looking like we did when we went out from the pandemic. So God has disassembled church across the world so that we can put it back together based on His plan and doing it His way. That's one of the things that we're going to ask you to specifically pray for. Now, along the way, that April the 1st, our first Thursday is April the 1st. That is also Maundy Thursday as we head into the resurrection time. That's the time when Jesus met with His disciples in the upper room. That was the time when they took communion together. So we will actually be having an organized communion service on Maundy Thursday. We're going to do that at two different times during our evening block. We will have communion at 7 p.m. and we will have communion at 8 p.m. Now, we do want you to continue to have your focused prayer time. Just come either before that time or after that time and be able to spend that time in prayer. But for those of you, we're encouraging you, bring a friend, bring somebody that you know to come by and celebrate communion with us on Maundy Thursday, once again, two times, 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. We've also asked you, if you've been coming by the church, please pick up one of these prayer commitment cards. It just says basically your name, and it says what your fasting commitment is going to be. Now, we're not taking these up. This is for you. This is for you to put in a prominent place where you will see it to remind you of the commitment that you have made before the Lord as we go through this particular month of emphasis on prayer. And then also, I put a little guide together that says, why fast? And it tells us a little bit about what that is, as well as what our schedule for the month of April is. And then we will also have some prayer guides for you when you show up on the particular Thursdays. These are available at the church. You can get those. Also, if you're not part of our area and you're watching from outside the area, just contact us on our website. At the bottom of the screen, usually right about here, you can see our website. You can contact us there. We'll make sure that you get one of those. And even if you're not able to actually come and make that physical appointment to be with the Lord here on those Thursdays, please do that at home. Find your prayer closet. Go there. We will get you the material that we're using, and we're asking you to cry out to the Lord for some specific things along the way that God will show us what He has in store for us as we emerge from the pandemic and try to reach the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I want to be a part of that. I know God's got some special things planned for each and every one of us. I want you to be a part of it with us as well. One final thing before we close out in a word of prayer. We are going to actually have a fellowship golf tournament on May the 1st. We have some of these sheets here. This is going to be a four-man captain's choice tournament, and you can get you four guys, come together. This is just really designed for us to have an opportunity to be able to fellowship one with another. We're not going to overburden you. We do plan on having some prizes. There'll be a meal along with that. The cost per team, that's four guys, is $200 per team. So, and even if you don't have a team, if you say, I want to play, but I don't have four guys, give us a call, let us know. We'll probably have some of those folks that we'll be able to put together a team for you right there. We're going to be playing that at the Forest Oaks Country Club. Used to be home of one of the PGA Tour events, and we're looking forward to having a great time of fellowship. Won't you come and join us for that? In the meantime, find that personal private place, that secret place, your prayer closet. Make those appointments with the Lord. Cry out to Him, you know, asking Him, Lord, show me, because when we seek Him, we will find Him. He's made that promise in His Word. May our prayer life be enhanced, and I pray that God gives you a fantastic week and that He'll use you in somebody else's life. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this evening, we're so thankful that you have given us a means of communication. Lord, that you didn't leave us, that when we accepted you, you gave us the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, even when we don't know what to pray for or how to pray. But Lord, I'm praying that you will help us as we focus, as we make this time, and as we endeavor to make appointments with you. Lord, as we cry out to you, may we hear your voice loudly and clearly. Lord, as you give us marching orders for the future individually in our lives, but Lord, also as you give us marching orders corporately for our church as we go into the future. Lord, may we seek you because you know you promised us we will find you. Help us to hear you loudly and clearly. And Lord, may we truly be an example today for somebody of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we give a smile. May we give a word of praise. May we be what you want us to be. May we love one another in the manner in which you loved us. Give us a great week, Father. Help us to view opportunities and to look for those divine appointments along the way. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you Sunday.